Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who was and is to come. The one who heals, the one who delivers, the one who sets free. Oh, God, don't let anybody ever get as much praise as you, Father. We worship you. We put our hands together for you this morning, Jesus. Lord, receive the glory tonight. Receive the glory tomorrow. Receive the glory this week, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. If you'd lift your hands one more time, Father, we anoint this service. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Lord, this is your time to speak to us. It's our moment to hear your voice. Lives are hanging in the balance. Eternities are represented in this place today, and we need a touch from your hand. Not from a man or a woman or a religion or a church, but you. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts and our ears to receive. And we know that there's no power in hell, no spirit of darkness that can lie and deceive and confuse this morning. And Lord, that every person in this place, by the time they walk out these doors, their lives will be transformed into knowing who they are in Jesus. Lord, you're the Savior of this world, and you love this world so much that you gave your life on that cross, that whosoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray for miracles to happen today. Physical healings, God. People to be set free this morning, Father, from bondage and sins in their lives that they can't seem to get over, that depression would be lifted today. Lord, that joy would come into this place. And Lord, we would have an encounter with the true and living God this morning, Father, and no one would leave the same way that they came in, Father. I pray that your presence would be evident in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And if you agree with that this morning, just give a big amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, musicians. Before you sit down, just tell someone near you, I'm glad that you're here on Resurrection Sunday today. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Praise the Lord. Want to welcome, as Pastor Mario said, anybody who's here for the first time, those that are watching online this morning. You know, this is a special day. I consider this the Super Bowl of Christianity. Amen? And we win every single year. I can't seem to get any of my sports teams to win, but thank God my Savior wins every single year. Amen? When you're a Cowboys fan, you're extra thankful for the Super Bowl of Jesus. Amen. But we're celebrating today because it is a special day. But I want you to know something, especially if you're a guest. If you're here for the first time, we already welcomed you. We hope you feel welcome. But I want you to know that you're the reason we're here. Amen. If you're a guest and you've never been to this church, you've never maybe even walked into a church before, we want you to know that we have prepared for this moment, for just a few minutes right now, for you to know. And if I could come and talk to every single one of you that's here for the first time, you're the reason we're here. You're the reason I'm going to preach this message. You're the reason this church exists. You're the reason we've been working for 16 years in Denton to get to this place to where we could have this many people on a Sunday morning and Easter, and so you could hear the gospel. The gospel that changes lives. The gospel that changed my life. If you're here this morning and the gospel has changed your life, let somebody know. Just raise your hand if Jesus has changed your life in this place. Amen. So you're in the right place. Amen, for God to change your life, for Jesus to come in. And I just feel this morning like this is a moment of excitement for me because we understand that there's lives, as I said in the prayer, hanging in the balance right now. How many understand that this morning? And today is Resurrection Sunday, and we believe that Jesus came out of that grave, and that's what we're celebrating. But I want you to understand that today, as I put the message title up, I've never preached this message. I believe that there's an urgency today that we've never had on an Easter Sunday before. especially if you're here. You know what? We only get you for a few minutes this morning. You may be here, and we may never see you again. But today, God wants to say something to you that is a matter of life and death. How many have ever heard that saying? It's a matter of life and death. And that's the message title this morning. I've never preached this message, this title before. I feel it so urgent. How many know we're living in some crazy times? We're living in days that are very dark. We're living in days that are very uncertain. And we know that there's a lot of things on the horizon in our country and in our world. And I just want you to understand today that please don't make this another day where it's Easter Sunday and we just kind of go through the motions and have fun with our kids and take pictures, but don't realize how serious it is to think about the future of our lives this morning. Amen. Luke 24, 6 and 7 is the story this morning. It says in that verse, he's not here. How many know he's not there anymore? We're talking about life and death this morning. We're talking about what happens after we die. And Jesus went to that place of death and faced death for us and came out of that grave, and that's the reason we can celebrate today. It's not, for many, it's a religious holiday. For many, it's a time to go on vacation or to get off of work, or maybe even a time where you do reflect about God, but you don't do it the rest of the year. Today, God wants to show you that he wants a relationship with you on a daily basis. He wants you to know who he is, and he knows who you are, and he has a plan and a purpose for you, and that grave being empty today gives us a hope this morning. But the grave being open and empty, listen, church, is very important, does not mean that you will have eternal life in heaven. You have to believe that what he did on that cross and when he came out of that grave changed your life. The empty tomb does not mean anything if you don't accept it and don't believe it and don't walk in it. And so today I feel this urgency to talk to you, and I want you to know that all of us that are here that are already believers, again, you're the reason we're here, because we want you to know what we know, what we've come to know, that Jesus can change anybody, that Jesus can save anybody, that there's no person that he can't forgive. There's no mistake that you've made that Jesus can't make right. There's no life that can't be changed. There's no marriage that can't be fixed. There's no body that can't be healed. We're serving a Jesus who is alive today, and he has power. How many believe that this morning? And for just a few minutes, amen, I want you just to stay with me in this, and I want to go back a couple verses to the beginning of this chapter in Luke 24. And I want you to see what it says here. It says, on the first day of the week. So the reason that we celebrate, if you don't know this, on Sunday is this is, in our working calendars, we kind of consider Monday to be the first day of the week. But it's Sunday. Today's the first day of the week. And the reason we have church on Sunday in the New Testament is because this is the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And so we call every Sunday Celebration and Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find, and I want to leave this for just a second, the body of the Lord Jesus. Again, I'm preaching to you as if maybe you've never heard a message on the gospel before. I want you to understand that this is a historical fact. Historians will tell you that Jesus came out of that tomb. Historians will tell you, people will tell you, as Simon Greenleaf, the co-founder of Harvard, would tell you, it is the most verifiable event in human history that Jesus came out of that grave and was seen by over 500 people. And in a moment, I'm going to get you to understand why that's so important, that it's not just a story, but it means something very important to your very life and to your very future and to your eternity. And so he came out of that grave. They did not find the body. And listen, till this day, say to this day, they still haven't found the body, because they won't find his body. They won't find remains. They won't find bones, because he's not in the tomb. He came out of the tomb. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And listen closely. He's the only person ever to do that in the name of Jesus. Now, he raised people from the dead. But there is, listen, in all due respect to every religion that exists in the world, to every belief that there is in the world, there's only one. I want you to lift up your hand with me and put a one up. There's only one person ever in the history of the world that said, I died, I went to the grave, and I came out again. and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen? No other deity, no other God, no other religion has ever even stated that strength of a sentence that I died and now I'm alive. So this is a good person to believe in because he knows what's on the other side. Let's keep reading. But and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that behold, two men stood by them, their angels, in shining garments. And this is what I want you to see. And as they were afraid, and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, this is key, why do you seek the living among the dead? Today, people are trying to find life among dead things. You can't find life. You cannot talk to somebody about life who has died. They're dead. When you talk about life and death, you have to talk about somebody who knows both sides of the coin, and that's Jesus. Why are you looking for someone that's dead or alive among the dead? This is a tomb. He's not there. Amen? Today, people all over the world are celebrating dead religion. They're worshiping a God that is dead. And I don't say that disrespectful. I say that because it's the truth. Only one. One more time, only one has ever come out from the other side of heaven and the other side of eternity, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then it goes on to say what we read there. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. And here's the Gospels, verse 7. The Son of Man. That means that he was a physical. That whenever you hear the word Son of Man, don't let that confuse you. That means he was physically a man. He was the son. He was born of a human being, Mary. Okay? And it says he must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Now, when we talk about death, how many know that everybody in here is going to die? I'm not trying to be morbid, but 10 out of 10 people die. Okay? And so it's very important to talk about death when we talk about life. You can't understand the power of the tomb unless you understand how powerful death is. And that as that song said, with Jesus, death has no hold on us. 1 Corinthians 15 says, where's your sting, death? There is no sting in death with Jesus because he has already defeated that. But I want to talk for a few minutes about death because I want you to think this morning about something very important. There will never be another March 31st of 2024. This is it. And the truth is, church, next year, none of us are promised to be here next Easter. Matter of fact, none of us are promised to go to Sunday Funday to the picnic this afternoon. There's no promise of the next few minutes. This is it. What if today was it? I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I'm being truthful. What if today was the last day? What if this was the last chance you ever got to sit in a service and hear a gospel message? Here's the problem. As I say that, I think, and listen, I'm not looking at anybody's faces. I'm preaching above your head today, amen, because I'm focused. But I'm thinking, how many people in this place have heard the gospel message 100 times? And you still don't take it, don't raise your hand too fast, and you still don't take it serious. You still don't realize how serious it is because this is serious business. That's why this message is called It's a Matter of Life and Death, because I don't think we can go by another Easter today and say, well, we had a good Easter. There was a good amount of people that showed up at church. We had a good Sunday Funday. But there's souls that are hanging in the balance right now, souls that are going to spend an eternity without God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is established unto man to die 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times. Is that what it says? How many times do we die? Once. Hey, you guys look good over there. Amen. Handsome men over there. 2 of the 3 are single. Everybody's looking. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the Bible, so that erases reincarnation. That erases purgatory. It is established unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. The Bible says, now we'll just get serious here for a minute, and it's okay, I want it to be that way, because this is, if you were in the hospital and a doctor came in and said, this is a matter of life and death, we've got to operate right now, or your kid, your wife, your friend is going to die. That's how I feel this Easter. I've preached a lot of Easter messages, but I feel an urgency in my spirit this year, that we really have to take serious the things of God, because the things that are on the horizon are scary, not for the church, but for the world. And we have a lot of people, I know that you're in here, maybe you're one of them, maybe you have family members that are not ready to stand before God in judgment. And so 10 out of 10 people die. And I can say this with clarity, I can say this with seriousness, this is going to be the most important Easter of your life. I mean that. Not just for those that don't believe, but for those that believe. God's changing something. God's turning something. God, something's happening in the spiritual realm right now, and I believe that wholeheartedly. As I looked up a matter of life and death, when I was praying about this message, it just hit. Matter of fact, my daughter asked me, what's your title? And at that moment when she asked me on Thursday, I didn't have a title yet, but as soon as she asked me, it came. It's a matter of life and death. Just immediately, I texted her back, it's a matter of life and death. And I say that because I want you to understand that when you look that up, the idiom in the dictionary, it says it's a situation that's extremely serious. Because it's amazing to me how many people, and there's nothing wrong with doing this in the light of being a good steward. But it's amazing to me how many people in this world think about 401ks and retirement and leaving an inheritance to their children and leaving something to their children. And what am I going to leave after I die? And what am I going to do when I'm gone? And how am I going to live until I get there? And what year am I going to retire? And people don't take 10 seconds to think about what's going to happen the first 10 seconds after they cross over into eternity. I don't know about you, but that blows me away. I don't understand it. I don't understand how we can plan so much for something and then not realize how short this life is. And that once this life is over, the Bible tells me right there, as soon as I die, I stand in judgment with a holy, living God. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying you because that's what the scriptures tell us. And for just a few moments before I get into some scriptures, I want you to really stop for a second and think this morning about your mortality. And how short life is. And I want to use an example of somebody that, unless you lived in a cave or something the last few years of your life, everybody would know this man's name. But I want to talk about someone that was named Cassius Clay, who became Muhammad Ali, who is coined as the greatest boxer of all time, self-proclaimed as well by himself. And many of you have heard him talk. Obviously, the last few years of his life were tainted with Parkinson's disease. But he was a very outspoken man. And he had a revelation that was very amazing to me how short life was. And he was interviewed. And the interesting thing about Muhammad Ali is he mentioned his dash. I preached a message, I think, one time after we had a funeral many years ago at the old building, and I preached about what's in your dash. And your dash starts with the four numbers of when you were born. How many know what your four numbers are? Mine's 1974. Okay, everybody knows that number, but nobody knows the next four numbers of when your dash is going to end. When you go to a cemetery and you see those tombs, and you see the graves, you see the dash. Some in those cemeteries today, don't have the second number yet because they haven't passed away. But that's in any moment, in any second, that dash ends. We know when our dash begins, but nobody knows when the dash ends. And we need to think about that because life and death is that quick. And so Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay, was 1942 to 2016. And what happened to that self-proclaimed greatest boxer of all time? Guess what? The same thing that happens to everybody else. He died. He knew his life was short, and even though he lived to be into his 70s, he died. And that's a sobering thought to think that so many people today, for me, are unprepared for life after death. Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay, was raised, listen to this, most people don't know this, was raised a Christian by his mom and was baptized in a Christian church at 12 years old and credits his mother with his good values. The problem is somewhere along the way after he grew up, he got away from his mother and his values and decided to convert to Islam in his early 20s. That's no disrespect to that religion, but I want to tell you something. The thing is that happens is he says this statement. I'm very blown away by this. He said one day, he had a very good understanding of eternity. He said one day we're all going to die, and God is going to judge us. He said, for our good deeds and our bad deeds. And he believed if the bad outweighs the good, you go to hell. If the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. That is a belief that most people you talk to in the world will tell you. If you talk to somebody on the street and you go up and ask them, hey, what's going to happen? If you ask them, because by the way, that's the greatest witnessing tool there is. What do you think you're going to go after you die? It's a good conversation starter. Most people will tell you, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Sometimes you'll meet someone who obviously will say, I'm going to hell. I know I'm a bad person, blah, blah, blah. I've done too many things wrong. But most people, because of religion and because of different things, will say, I think I'm going to go to heaven. You say, why? Most people don't say, because I believe in someone who took my place. Most people say, because I'm a good person. And you think about that, even if that was true for just a second, let's just make that true. How scary is that? How scary, how much peace can you truly have to try to live the best life that you can, and then when you die, you're just playing Russian roulette to hope that the things you've done good outweigh the things you've done bad. And you really have, you gotta understand this, Islam and many religions, listen closely, do not have any assurance that they'll go to heaven. Because they have to wait until they get to heaven to stand before God and have the scales brought out on the good and the bad. Let me tell you what the good news is this morning. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. If you believe in me, though you were dead, you shall live. And Ephesians says, it's not by works that we're saved, but by grace, lest any man should boast. So people who are going to be in heaven are not relying on their good works. They're relying on the one good work that Jesus did as he came to this earth to take our place on that cross and go into that grave and face the worst death anybody's ever faced and come out. That's what saves us this morning. And church, I want you to understand, and I want you to look for this later, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. There's a documentary on YouTube that you can put in this. Don't do it now, please. Trauma Doctor Describes Crucifixion. I thought about showing it today, but it was too long, and it's powerful. And this trauma, you know, trauma doctors are not, trauma surgeons are not regular surgeons. Regular surgeons, like Pastor Mario, set a date, they bring the person in, they operate on their knee, they operate on my dad's shoulder, they operate on your gallbladder, there's a plan. Trauma surgeons automatically have to walk into a room full of blood and death right around the corner and try to fix somebody. They face horrible, horrible things that they see. And this trauma doctor describes the death of Jesus so amazingly, starting with him bleeding, sweating blood in the garden. And he goes through everything. It's about a 5-minute video. And he goes through the scourging. And he goes through carrying the cross. And he goes through all these things. And church, we need to listen to those things to realize Jesus faced the most horrible death someone could ever face in the history of the world for us. And it's so powerful because at the end of this video, this trauma doctor, at the last minute, begins to weep and cry. A doctor thinking about how he doesn't deserve that Jesus did that for him. See, that's the thing today. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve what Jesus did, but he did it. Now, I want to end with Muhammad Ali's moment here in the message because he had a very amazing revelation of explaining eternity. And the problem is the Islamic religion, in his beliefs, okay, I'm only going off of what he believed, did not believe that Jesus died on the cross. If you don't believe Jesus died on the cross, then you can't believe Jesus took your place for your sins. You can't believe that he went to the grave and died, and you can't believe that he resurrected. So they don't have that faith that we have from the Word of God. But he understood eternity. And he said, I'm scared that I might spend, these are his words, eternity in flames. Those are his words. And here's how he described eternity. And I want you to listen closely to this morning because I want you to realize that one day, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week. I hope it's 50 years from now. But one day, 10 out of 10 of us are going to die. And then what we're going to do is we're going to stand in front of a holy living God. And the question is today, I want every one of you to answer, are you ready to stand before God? Are you ready to meet God? Because when you do, your eternity will be decided. By the way, newsflash, we don't get to choose if we live for eternity. Did you know that? We don't have a choice in that. Everybody is going to live forever. Our spirit is immortal. Our bodies will die, but our spirits will live forever. And you can say, no, I don't want that. I'm going to go to God and I'm going to say, God, I want the lights to go out. You don't get that choice. You only get the choice where you're going to spend it. You get the choice to choose life or to choose death. How many of you know where the Sahara Desert is? Have you ever heard of the Sahara Desert at least? It's in Africa. It is the size, almost mile per mile, square miles of the United States of America, to give you some perspective of how big it is. And Muhammad Ali, in a video, in that same video, talked about eternity and the fear of being in hell flames for eternity. And he said, you know what eternity is? I've never heard anybody describe eternity better. He said, you think of the Sahara Desert and you pick up one grain of sand, and that one grain of sand is 1,000 years. He said, 1,000 years passes by, and then you pick up another grain of sand. Until all the grains of sand are picked up on the Sahara Desert. And he said, then eternity begins. See, our minds can't wrap around that. How many know our minds can't go that far? But church, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 30, I want you to look at this, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth. How many know when God calls heaven and earth together, it's serious? I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. He's talking to the Israelite people, but he's talking to us today. And look what he says. I have set before you life, and I have set before you death. This is free will. He says, I've set before you blessing, and I've set before you cursing. It's amazing to me how many people over and over, daily, day after day, week after week, choose death. Choose cursings. Choose problems. Sometimes it's the way they were raised. Sometimes it's the influences around them. But it's amazing how some people don't want life. They want death. And God says, that's fine. You get to choose. But I'm placing it before you today. And he goes, I'm going to give you a little hint of what you should do. He says, choose life. How many choose life today? Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Hallelujah. And when we say live, that's eternity. Listen, death is the most certain thing we'll ever face in our lives. Most people want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And then you think about how you would die. You know, Jesus, again, died the worst death you can possibly die on that cross. That trauma doctor will tell you that. It's beyond our understanding. How many have ever seen The Passion of the Christ? I've watched it one time. I could never watch that movie again. Once. And if you haven't seen it, raise your hand again. If you haven't seen it. I would highly suggest that you go watch The Passion of the Christ. Because it's not even possible to be able to portray what happened, but they did as best you can do cinematically on that movie. And I don't know if you've ever even read up, and I just happened to see this yesterday, Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus, he states the things that he went through physically and spiritually and emotionally. He ended up having 2 heart surgeries after filming that movie and almost died several times just playing Jesus, just portraying Jesus and all the things that he went through. We say all that because we have to understand that death is very real. But listen closely to me this morning. We don't have to fear death. That's the good news. We can fear death in the sense of that moment, right? How many would like to, if you had the choice, to just die in your sleep? That'd be a good way to go, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I hope. How does it finish? Thank you. I got saying that so fast, I forgot it. And if I wake before I die, what is it? See, y'all know it. Amen. That'd be a great way, right? Just wake up in heaven. But that's not how it works. We don't get to choose that. But what we get to choose is where we go after. John 5, watch this, verse 24. Most assuredly, words of Jesus says, he, and this is where I want you to start to plug in right here. He who hears my word. See, I'm giving you the word this morning. Pastor, why are you so serious on Easter? Because this is a matter of life and death. This may be the last message I ever preach. This may be the last Easter we ever have. This may be the only time I ever see you in your life. He says, most assuredly, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Now notice, you just said, Pastor, that we're all going to live forever. There's a difference between everlasting life and everlasting death. We're all going to live forever. We get to choose how. And it says, and shall not come into judgment. This is very important. What did Hebrews 9:27 say? It's appointed unto man once to die, then comes. He says here, if we believe in Jesus, we will not come into judgment. In other words, we can stand before Jesus as a judge, or we can stand before Jesus as a Savior. And he says, they will pass from death to life. This morning, in just a few minutes, we're going to do a prayer, and some of you are going to make a decision to pass from death to life. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Everyone who dies will hear that voice. Listen, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That should scare us in a godly way. If that doesn't scare you, I fear for you. Because the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells me, is the fear of the Lord. I today, standing here in this pulpit, have 100% assurance of where I'm going when I die. I'm not preaching this message for me. I'm not preaching this for a lot of people in here today who have given their lives to Jesus and believe. I'm preaching this to you, the person that might not take death serious, might not take eternity serious, or might think that you're going to spend eternity where you want to spend it on your terms. God is a God of his own will. We have to obey what his word says. Can I get an amen? He's the giver of life. He's the one who made life and death. He said, I've said it before you, choose life. Now, Jesus in John 11 is talking to Martha, and Lazarus has died. And he is dead, dead. He's been dead for 4 days. And they think he's late. They think he's not concerned, but he's testing their faith. And he gets there to Martha, and Martha says, he says, he's going to live. And Martha says, yes, he will live. She understood, in the resurrection of the dead. When he dies, he'll be resurrected. And Jesus says, no, in verse 25 of John 11, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection, Jesus says, and the life. Did that hit anybody right there? See, when you know him, it hits you. When you know him, you say, I am the, like when then Moses said, hey, who do I tell him that you are? He said, just tell him I am. I am. I am. He is everything you need this morning. He is your healer. He is your deliverer. He is your redeemer. He is your Prince of Peace. He is the author and the finisher of your faith this morning. Amen. When you fall in love with Jesus, you don't have to preach a message like this and be scared. You can know that when you hear the voice, you've heard that voice before. When he knocked on the door of your heart and he said, let me come in, Revelation 3 says, and you said, come on in, Jesus. I'll give you my life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. And it says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Amen. And whoever lives and believes in me, watch this, shall never die. That means the spiritual death. We're all going to die physically. Now, we have a blessed hope this morning, and that's a whole other message. We believe as a church that Jesus is coming back for us. And we believe that the blessed hope says that many who are alive and remain will be caught up and will never taste death. Are you excited to be that possible generation that won't die? I believe we are that generation that will not see death. But when that happens and that transpires, we're going to be able to stand before God. But he asks this question. Put that up for just one second. Put that verse back up. He says, do you believe this? Because there's a spiritual death and there's a physical death. If you die the spiritual death, you're going to eternity without God. You can die the physical death, but you don't have to die the spiritual death. Jesus died that for you. He took your place so you don't have to go there. Now we have, listen closely, resurrection power over any and everything that could exist in this place today. We're not afraid of demons. We're not afraid of darkness. We're not afraid of attacks of the devil. We're not afraid of lies of the devil. We're not afraid of cancer. We're not afraid of demons and darkness and devils and doom and gloom. We're not afraid of any of that because Jesus already defeated all that on the cross. And he said, the same power and authority that I have, I give to you. Look what it says as we begin to close in Colossians 2. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. And somebody should be excited about this, forgiving all your trespasses. Is anybody thankful today that Jesus forgave all of our trespasses? And watch this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. In other words, what they believed, if I did more good than bad or more bad than good, Jesus says, no, I wiped that out. That law, that expectancy, God wants us and expects us to be good. Don't get me wrong this morning. We should. If you really love Jesus, you're going to live a holy life. If you're really thankful for what he did on the cross, you're going to live a holy life. That goes without saying. But he says, I've wiped out the handwriting of the rules of the people. And he says, which was contrary to us. In other words, what we could not do. And he says, he's taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Amen. Your sins are nailed to the cross. Your problems are nailed to the cross. Your inadequacies are nailed to the cross. Your failures are nailed to the cross. All you got to do is confess them and they're wiped out. And then watch what it says. Having disarmed the principalities and powers. I don't have to be afraid and you don't have to be afraid of all the things that are going on in this world and all the attacks and all the lies and all the rumors and all those things because Jesus disarmed those principalities and made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them on the cross. Amen. How many believe that this morning? Everything's been defeated this morning. All we got to do is believe. As the musicians begin to come, I want to give you one verse. How many can imagine today if you were in China or Russia or some communist country or some country where there was no Bible and you don't have any word, any way to know God? I want to give you one verse. John 3:16, I said it earlier, was great. That's not the one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him, wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great verse. That I am the resurrection and the life is a great verse. I've said several great verses in this message, but let me tell you my favorite. If I had to pick one verse in the whole Bible, one to use that would bring salvation to people, many of you know this because I say it a lot, but it's my go-to. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Now, I want to take it down for a second. I'm going to put it back up in just a second. I want you to just listen for just two more minutes. I want you to think right now try to understand what this means. This means God, being fully God,
the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, the one who formed the boundaries of the ocean, the one who flung the stars in the sky, that God chose. This is what sets the truth apart from religion. He chose to come down to this earth and live in this, a physical human body. Can you even try to wrap your mind around that for a second? Him knowing no sin, being perfect. And church, Jesus was not an afterthought. Remember that he is there in the beginning in Genesis 1. He's there as the serpent on the rod with Moses. He's there all throughout the Bible as types of Christ. He's there in Psalms 22 when David is prophesying about him 1,000 years before he comes. He's there in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. He who's bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. That God said, I'm going to go down and constrain myself to a physical human body, and I'm going to feel everything they feel. I'm gonna live in around sin. He had no sin. He was perfect. That's why he was born of a virgin, not of the Holy Spirit, not of a man's seed. That's another message. You can find that online. It's very powerful. But he came into this physical body we live in. And we talk this morning, listen, about all that suffering he did physically. But it started in the garden when he sweat blood. The other things that happened, the crown of thorns, the scourging, carrying his cross, nails in his hands and feet, spear in the side, mocked, given sour wine, all those things were physical. But God's true love started in the garden when he began to sweat blood, because he began to see not the physical pain of death, but he began to see the sins of you and me. He began to feel the guilt of our pain. And if you've ever had guilt for something in your life and you felt bad for it, try imagining taking that sin on yourself of 16 billion people. They say there's been about 16 billion people, 8 billion before and 8 billion since creation, around 16 billion people. Imagine the guilt. Imagine that. It wasn't just the physical pain in the garden. He was so perplexed that his blood vessels began to break and blood beginning to get in his sweat glands, and he sweat blood because he knew what he had to go to. Because remember, he was fully God in a fully human body. It's the greatest story ever told. And it's real. And it's a matter of life and death to us today. And if I'll believe it and put my faith in what he did on that cross, I'll be saved. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, listen, to become sin for us. That's different than physical beating. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your spirit that is here right now touching the hearts of men and women that you know who they are. I don't. Have not believed. Truly believed. Lord, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please, Jesus, please, Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of those hearts today that are not ready to stand before a holy, righteous God, and help them understand today they can put their faith and trust in you, and everything can change right now. In a moment, in a second, in an instant. He who believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live. How many people all across this place, I'm talking to, to people who understand this is a matter of life and death. We need to do some spiritual surgery on you right now, or you're not going to make it till tomorrow. Today's the day. Now's the moment. Please don't take this as another message. Please don't let this just be another day that you showed up to church. Please let Jesus change you. Please understand how real eternity is, how long it is. And the Bible tells us there's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, but there's a place called paradise where in my Father's house there's many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Nobody else in the history of the world has ever said, I've been to the other side and back, but Jesus. Today he says, believe in me, and I'll give you eternal life. You can drink from the well of water that will never run dry. How many people right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, all across this place, I'm talking to people in this place that have never believed, never put your faith in Jesus, and today at this moment, you're not ready to stand before God. I want to pray for you. How many of you, quickly and honestly, with nobody looking around, could just lift your hand and say, Pastor, please pray for me right now. I see your hand. How many more? I need Jesus. I'm not ready to meet God. Come on, just put it up and put it down. I see your hand. I see your hand. Come on, no one's looking around. How many more? This is why I'm here today. When they said, how many got prayer requests? My prayer request was, God, please let people get saved today. Please let people put their faith in you today, Jesus. I'm not asking you to change religions, change churches, sign a membership card. I'm asking you, what are you going to say to God when you stand before him? I'll say, Jesus, the one who died for me. I'm going to wait just a few more moments. I know there's more people. I know in my spirit there's more people. You're not ready. You're not ready to meet God. Why would you, what is your excuse? Maybe you're here and you're saying, you don't understand, I've been a really bad person. Well, you can't be any worse than that thief that was on the cross next to Jesus. And he's in heaven today. All he did was look over and say, Jesus, would you remember me today? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. How many more? Just put your hand up. And don't do it for me. Do it for you. I'm doing my part. I'm going to leave this place with peace in my heart that I've given you the gospel. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God. How many more say, Pastor, today I'm making that decision to accept Jesus. I want to be born again. Just lift up your hand. Put it right back down quickly, all over. I see your hand. God bless you. Saints, would you pray with me? Because the devil's fighting. The devil doesn't want these people. The devil hates you. Hates you with a hate you don't even understand. I see your hand. You can't even comprehend it. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. Now I'm going to move on to the next question. How many of you here today, you're here because it's Easter. Let's be honest. Let's be real. And you've known at some point in your life the realness of God. You believe in Jesus. You believe he died on the cross for your sins. But if you're being honest with yourself today, you're not living the life that God has called you to live. And today you want to get back to your first love. How many could say, Pastor, that's me today? Just put your hand up and put it right back down. I see your hands. God bless you, all of you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's just stay in this attitude of reverence, please. God is so good. He loves you, church. He loves you. But the reason we're so serious today is because we want every one of you to know eternity is just around the corner. And we can be ready. Amen? Can't blame anybody that you're not ready, because we've presented the gospel. It's simple. God came down and took our place. Do we believe it or not? I can't make you believe, but I believe the Holy Spirit's working on you this morning. Today, before we take up communion, we're going to take communion as a church. I want to ask those that are here that are serious about the decision you're making, and you want to make a public proclamation of your faith in Jesus, whether it's the first time or a rededication, I want you just to find that nearest aisle. Scoot past somebody if you have to and say, I'm going to go down to the front of this church and I'm going to let everybody know I need Jesus today. I want to be saved. Just come. Come on, you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand. Come on. Come on, many hands went up. Come on, church, let's help them. Praise God. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw them. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Come on, don't look around and wait for somebody else. This is you saying, Jesus, I believe that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Come on, church, keep praying. Hallelujah. How many more? How many more? I'm going to wait just a few moments. Make a public confession of your faith today. Amen. Maybe you're watching online. We're going to say this prayer. I'm going to put up the prayer. This is a biblical prayer of salvation. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Didn't say you might be. It says you will be saved. Just say this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I fall short of your glory. I'm not worthy of heaven. But I know that your word says that even though the wages of my sin are death, the gift of God is eternal life. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and taking my place and then resurrecting from the dead so I could have eternal life. I believe that today. I put my faith in that today, and I accept that. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and please wash me clean from all my sin. Make me a new person. And from this day forward, in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we rejoice with them this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we begin to sing a song this morning, would you just get your communion cup and just begin to make your way up to the altar this morning? We're just going to take this. Just come as close as you can. Everybody just push forward to the front. We're going to take up communion as a body this morning at this altar. We're going to believe that if you need a miracle in your marriage, your finances, your health, your heart, your life, transformation, whatever you need, God is here today. But we're going to take up communion, and we're going to thank him for his goodness and for his body and his blood. Oh, we bless you and praise you and worship your holy name, Jesus. As we begin to sing, just begin to examine yourself this morning. Lord, search my heart. Lord, look inside of me today and show me if there's anything in my life that's not right. Anything in my life that doesn't belong, Jesus. Search me, examine me. Examine me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to please you. I want to glorify you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sin is broken. If you don't have a communion cup, just raise your hand if you need one.
You are one.
You are the risen. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus met with his disciples the night he was going to be betrayed. And he knew one of them would betray him, and he knew everybody else would scatter. But he said, we're going to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to think about my body that's going to be bruised for you, my blood that's going to be shed for you. And today we do this 2,000 years later, not as an act of religion, but an act of obedience. That we remember, he said, do this in remembrance of me. And then later on, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he said the same thing. So if you pull out your bread, this isn't the body of Christ. People have made an idol of everything today. This is a symbol that he is the bread of life. It's a symbol that his body was bruised for us. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. And that we cannot live without bread physically, and we cannot live without his bread spiritually. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for taking our place on that cross. We thank you that we will live forever spiritually because of what you did through the body to take our place on this earth for our sin nature. We thank you, Lord, that your body was bruised. We thank you that it was beaten so that we can have eternal life. Lord, we examine ourselves this morning and ask if there be any hidden sin. You said in your word in Psalms, let us know your word so that we won't sin against it. Father, please forgive us for any sins in our lives. Help us to recognize those things that we need to get rid of in our lives so that we can take this communion this morning in the right attitude of reverence and thanksgiving. Thank you on this Easter Resurrection Sunday for your precious body. You can eat of the bread. Then the Bible says that he took the cup. He said, this is a symbol of my blood that will be shed for you. The Bible says in Leviticus that life and death is in the blood. It goes all the way back to Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. And they covered themselves with fig leaves, as soon as they realized they'd sinned. And then there was an animal that was killed, and the blood that was shed starts that sacrifice needed. The remission of sins comes through the shedding of blood. So Jesus becomes, after the law and Moses and all these things, he becomes the ultimate sacrifice. Romans 5 says that he became the curse for us. Romans 5 said, one man, Adam, sinned and brought sin into the whole world. One man, through his obedience, Jesus brought forgiveness into the whole world. And Father, we thank you this morning that your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And when you shed that perfect blood, that blood without sin, that blood without the curse of sin in it, it was the sacrifice God needed. And Lord, even at that moment when you turned your head away from Jesus and he looked up and he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? We know that that blood and that power was changing and transforming our lives today. And I believe it. And we believe it. And we thank you for the blood that not only forgives us of our sins, but heals us of all of our iniquities. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. You can take of the cup.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.